Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the James Whale Radio Show. Here we go. Thank you very much indeed for tuning in this way. Today's program features a chat with Dragon's Den star Deborah Meaden. That's to come later, of course. I'm also going to tell you about the Ford Ranger, the pickup truck that I have been driving for Ford. And if you ever fancied yourself in one of those, in fact, I think we put a few photographs up there on the website as well. I'll tell you what I think of that later on in the program. Rob, our producer, is here.
Hello, world.
Yeah, that's about enough. And you're going to do tech talk a little later on, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Yes, good man. But I thought we'd start off by welcoming our listeners far and wide, particularly the amount of listeners we seem to be picking up on the continent of the North Americas. We'd like to welcome you. Even if you have bastardized our language, welcome you to the James Whale Radio Show. Is it Radio 1 in New York that puts us out at the moment, or is it another radio station? I better be careful. It might not be that one.
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. There's so many. France. We're big in France at the moment. There's a big peak in France.
Bonjour, mon ami. Bonjour, bonjour, bonjour.
Okay, we've just lost the French listeners then.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, they probably lost them anyway because English has just been voted the sexiest accent in the world.
Hello.
Yeah, well, all apart from you, yes. So if you speak with an English accent now, well, I'm not sure if that doesn't relate to the Scots, of course. Do you know, I have to tell you something. Can I apologise to our Scottish listeners?
Please do.
Okay. I rang up a government department the other day to talk about something, sort something out. They happen to be based up in Scotland. That's where the office is. So when you ring this number, you go to a call centre in, I presume it's probably Glasgow. It could be somewhere else. And I was talking to this chap about some information I wanted to get. And halfway through the interview, I said, look, I'm terribly sorry. Please don't take this the wrong way, but I cannot understand a word you are saying. Could you speak more slowly? And this cretinous moron put the phone down on me. Now, that is not a good thing to do.
No, not to you, no.
Or to anybody else, considering you work in a place where I pay your wages.
True, yeah.
So don't put the phone in. So I rang back. I made such a flipping fuss. And, you know, I got through to the manager of these. I have to be careful of my language now. These places, and I was told I was racist. Now, I wasn't going to have that, so I took it even higher. And let me tell you, I've had an apology and everything else. But this is the thing: we are getting to a situation now, and I think a lot of it has to do with nationalism. This huge thing about we're all proud of. You know, there's nothing wrong with being proud of who you are, what you do, and to an extent where you come from. But listen, we are all human beings that inhabit this planet. I'm going to upset a lot of people, but it really is beginning to violently annoy me that we still have the word great in front of our name, because that must be so annoying to a lot of people. Anyway, I'm sorry. I could not understand this person with the thickest. And when I say thick, I'm not talking about intelligence. I'm talking about the accent, a thick accent. I could not understand it. Now, I've had the same problem when call center in India. Charming person in India, a banker that at the time I was banking with, their call center was in India somewhere. And I'm sorry, but I could not understand a word that this person was saying. And I made a complaint. I said, look, I'm sorry, but, you know, people are embarrassed to say this. I'm sorry, but I can't understand. Some languages I can't understand. Some accents I can't understand. Now, I've got it out of my system now, and I apologize if it offends you. but we can't all understand everyone.
I'm worrying about making another statement, just in case I get shouted at.
Well, as you know, I'm half Welsh. I am actually a quarter Scots. I am in all real terms, a mongrel of these islands. I've been sitting in a bar in Cardiff where somebody's been talking to me and I haven't been able to understand a word they've been saying either. So it's all relative, I suppose. But when somebody says to you, look, I'm sorry, Rob, could you talk a little more slowly? I can't actually understand what you're saying. And don't be offended by it. And it's not, listen, it's got nothing to do with whether you come from the north or the south. I started my radio career in Newcastle. And lots of people who go to Newcastle will say Newcastle. Well, that's just patronising in my thought. I stayed on the radio in Newcastle and was reasonably successful for, I don't know, 10 years or so. I don't think people had any problem understanding me, and I didn't have any problem understanding most people there. But even in all parts of the... There'll be places in London you go and you won't be able to understand a Cockney, because he will have such a strong accent, perhaps that's a better word than thick, a strong accent, you can't understand it. And I think we should stop being so, what's the word? Petty, not petty, so, I don't know. But somebody says, I can't understand what you're saying. Well, just take it. You know, they might be deaf or something. Somebody complained, I introduced the deputy chief constable on a radio program of a place I was doing an interview with the other day, and apparently I introduced him as the detective chief constable. I'm not sure that I did, but probably somebody just didn't understand what I was saying. How did I get onto this? Oh, yes, English is now the sexiest accent in the world. Ooh la la.
That's French.
Yeah, I know, just saying that. So am I wrong? Have you ever had a problem understanding somebody?
Every now and again. Yeah.
Have you said to them, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying?
No, I've never said that, but, I would just speak slower.
So you just struggled?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's the problem. And nobody is prepared. As far as I can see, if you take somebody on to do something, the last thing you're prepared to say, I'm sorry, I don't like the way you speak. Can you speak a little more clearly? People don't do it. I've got a friend who owns a restaurant. He's trying to get some staff. He had a couple came into him the other day, wanted a job, one of them had very loud tattoos that were visible on the back of hands, even on the neck, and he said, I'm sorry, I can't employ you because my customers won't like your tattoos. Off they went, got a call from the employment centre saying, you can't say this. He said, I can say it. And they got all stroppy, just, I'm afraid he put the phone down on them in the end. But we are all getting too, you know, if you want a job, and you turn up for a job and you can't be understood, and you're going to work in a service industry, and you talk either too quickly or you mumble, or you've got an accent that most people can't understand, or you've got tattoos across your forehead or something else, and somebody says, I'm sorry, I don't like the way you look, you can't have a job. Stop complaining about it. You know, we can't all do everything, can we? I often look at policemen and think, how did you get a job as a policeman? You're far too fat. I bet they can't say that. Although they're going to bring in a fitness campaign now for the police. I think it's long overdue. I think a policeman has to be one of the fitter people in society, don't you?
Yeah, to chase all the burglars. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Exactly my point. So I've got that. I wasn't going to talk about that at all, but I felt a bit miffed. What? Well, listen, if you want to tell me your thoughts on this, email me, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Check out the website, by the way. The website is
www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk.
And if you go on there, we've got all sorts of stuff, including a shop. And go and peruse the shop and spend some money in the shop. Buy your loved one a Valentine's present, although you might be listening to this after Valentine's Day. Now, before we have some music, we're going to have some music in a moment, aren't we?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, okay. I just want to talk to you about my current drive from Ford. And at the moment, I'm driving the pickup truck, the Ford Ranger. And it's rather smart. There is a picture, isn't there, on our website. Go and have a look at this, check it out. There's a picture of me with my mates in the back of it shooting bows and arrows, but that's another story. And I have to tell you, I've had a couple of times I've fallen out of it.
What?
Well, it when you're in it, it's like being in a car.
Yeah.
So it's like being in a car, and I have to say, I'm driving a 2.2 litre model of this, and it is, considering the enormous size of this pickup truck, it isn't bad on fuel, it has to be said. And at the moment, with the cost of fuel, I think it's costing about 55, 60 quid to fill it up, so that's not bad. And it's very well, it's very comfortable. You know, pickup trucks used to be just two seats, didn't they? And now the new range of pickup trucks, this that I'm driving, the Ford Ranger, is a four-seat pickup truck. And I've been driving it for the last couple of weeks, and it is fun. I have to say, it is a lot of fun. And if you have a business where you need to sort of pick stuff up and take it around, or if you're one of these guys who spends a lot of time in the golf club, it must be really, really good. You could just, I was thinking the other day, before I have to give it back, I must go to the nursery garden. Mrs. W wanted some wood chip to put on the garden before the weeds grow back. And I thought, if I take the car, I get two or three bags in the boot. If I take this, I get half a dozen bags. Just fling them in the back, can't I?
Oh, that's a relief. I thought they were going to just chuck loads of wood chip in the back.
No, in bags. Mind you, I did think I'd go out and get a whole load of wood for the fire, couldn't I?
Ford are going to love you.
I could look like a lumberjack. Well, I'll clean it before Ford get it back. Don't be silly.
Okay.
You know, but it is fun to drive. And if you're looking for a vehicle and you're... You know, you. I think you need to have a reason to have one. You do see quite a few posers in these. Heaven forbid that I should ever be considered to be a poser. But if you are in the market for a pickup, go and have a little test drive of the new Ford Ranger. See what you think. Now, shall we on the James Ware Radio Show? And a very good day to those of you listening to us via Talent GB. And Talent GB, of course, if you happen to be in the entertainment field, if you're in a band, if you're a magician, I don't know, if you're a juggler, anything at all, and you would like to let more people know about your particular act, check out talentgb.com, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
And they will be able to tell you more. Now, here's a bit of music. This is from, I don't know much about this guy, Jake Morley. Is that right? From London?
That's right, yep.
And this is a track available on iTunes, and it's called Ghostess.
I still feel you dressed in shadows, hiding, whispering words inside my head now. Whispered words I wish I'd said. Oh, this place is haunted by the echoes of your elegance. It's like some dusty old museum with our love behind a velvet. In my bathroom, your socks are where when I have none. Still sleeping on your mattress, I feel you, you're my ghostess. Still find your hairs on my clothes. How can it all be over when our toothbrushes still seem to kiss? I feel you, you're my ghostess. Step ahead, toying with my tired head, and everywhere I go there's something that reminds me of you. It's like I'm some old TV detector piecing through the clues of all we were. Your makeup in my bathroom, your socks are where when I have none. Still sleeping on your mattress, I feel you, here you're my ghostess. Still
listen to kids. I feel you, hear your Marco stays. Each night you come for me, why won't you leave me be? Still sleep on my side of the bed, I leave a space for
there we are. That was I've lost my place in the running order here. I knew that. Well, oh no, I'm gonna drop it all on the floor in the studio. Oh gosh, hang on just a minute, don't go away. Oh dear, I've got to bend over. That was Jake Morley. Why didn't you just tell me who that was? You could have saved me from that embarrassment.
The audio on that was very good. I thought I'd leave that
was
in.
Was it really? Yeah. All right. And Ghostess, available on iTunes from March the 23rd. Very nice. Now, one of my favourite TV programmes, it has to be said, and I'm not really sure why, is Dragon's Den. And we've had Theo Pathetis on this programme, a man who I occasionally shoot bows and arrows with. And although Theo isn't in it anymore, I know he is a big fan still. And one of the most popular dragons is Deborah Meaden. Of course, she became even more popular on Strictly Come Dancing. So let's give Deborah a ring and have a bit of a chat.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Webb Radio Show.
Well, Deborah Meaden, let's start with your birthday, which has just passed.
It has.
Happy birthday.
Yes. I've actually gone past the days of attaching the word happy to the front of my birthday.
How do you celebrate? How does a dragon, how does probably Britain's best known entrepreneur celebrate her birthday?
Oh, I like that. Actually, well, I tell you what I do. I disappear. I usually spend it at home amongst the menagerie I have here, you know, the cats, dogs, horses, and do very little because it's a rare day for me where I can actually choose to do absolutely nothing. It's lovely.
I think everybody needs to do that. I remember the days when I did nothing, in fact, most of my life. And I think if people are lucky enough to be able to do that, that's amazing. Human beings or animals, which do you prefer?
Well, I don't have to choose, do I? I get asked that quite a lot because I do a lot for animal, I'm seen visibly as sort of a lot about climate change, a lot about animal welfare. But I just don't think they're mutually exclusive. You know, I'm ultimately quite selfish, which means I just want a nice world. And that means I want animals to be protected. I want a good climate. I want people to live healthily, live long, live well, you know. I refuse to choose between the two. They are totally connected.
Have you thought about a career in politics?
No, you see, I know. You see, I am not. Don't mistake that for diplomacy. I am rubbish at being diplomatic. I just blurt stuff out. But I, you know, I just there are some things you can't choose between, and probably shouldn't.
I think you're right, but I think also because I am surrounded. Mrs. W won't mind me saying this. I'm surrounded by animals and always have been. And sometimes I just think they're slightly more intelligent sometimes because human beings seem to put their foot in it every chance they get. Myself
well, that's true,
included.
But I suspect if you were a gazelle being hunted by a lion, you might have a slightly different view of lions. So we look at it from one standpoint. But, you know, the truth is the animal kingdom is pretty brutal. And it does do its own damage. You know, elephants can destroy their own environment. So I think my worry is that they can do that unknowingly. We're doing what we're doing knowingly.
You see, I was going to talk to you about all sorts of different things today, I seem to have got off on animals and climate change and everything else. So let's talk about that a bit, because I have yet to be convinced that it's a bad thing, and I've been quite hurt by people who say you are a climate change denier. And well, nothing of the sort. I think the climate's always changed. It will always change. And even if human beings are changing it, Deborah, I mean, that's a natural thing anyway, isn't it? Because we're natural. We're just going to evolve ourselves out of existence.
Well, I agree with all of that. And you know what? I'm never accusing about people who are sceptical about climate change, because we should be sceptical. You know, we shouldn't just accept, we should not be told things that big and not say, is that true and does it matter? So I have no issue with people taking issue, but the evidence is telling us that climate is changing, and it always has, but it's changing faster than it ever has before. Now, we must be affecting. In fact, to me, it almost feels like if to say we weren't affecting it would be a little bit odd. You know, of course we're affecting it, and you're absolutely right. We are animals. You know, we're creatures of this earth, so that is natural. But we can make choices. We can, because we are aware of it in a way that other animals aren't, we can say, do we want this to happen? And if we don't want this to happen, and we don't want to look at a world that could be pretty devastated, pretty awful, you know, shouldn't we do something to change that? Because that's also natural to our intelligence. We have evolved to this state, and it would be nice to think we could use it in a better way.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be nice to think we could use it in a better way. But do you think human beings actually have the capacity to do that? Because for us to use it in a better way, each and every one of us is probably going to have to give up things we dearly like. And human beings find that difficult to do.
Well, I think that's very true. But I also think that probably the key to that is actually just reappraising what we really like. Because actually, when I look at the things that I love, and I'm in a privileged position, I completely understand that. But when I look at the things that I love, they're not the material things in life, the things that give me absolute joy. And I think you're the same, James. You know, you get your moments where you think, oh, this is fantastic, and it's not material. It's the fresh air and the country and seeing, you know, seeing smiles on children's faces. You know, those are honestly the things that make us happy. And I think they're kind of hidden under this material view of thinking, well, if I buy that thing, that will make me happier. That might make you happier for 30 seconds, but it doesn't make you long-term happier. So I think it's more about reappraising the things that we really, really care about. And often you don't do that until the loss of those things stares you in the face. So I think my job, I think, you know, anybody with a voice, the job is to say, look, guys, here's an alternative future. And if we don't actually behave differently, that's where we're going to end up. Do we like that?
Yeah, I completely understand, and I see that. I just think sometimes it's, you know, if I could sit under a tree, watch the sun go down over the sea and do that regularly, I think that would be terrific. If you did it all the time, you'd probably get bored with it, and yeah. Everything in moderation. But it's all right for people who have enough money to be able to do that. There are those people who are so wound up with worrying about whether they can get a job, whether they can pay their rent, whether they can keep their house. And there are more and more of those sort of people at the moment who have these problems. They're not able to think about anything else.
No, and I did say I completely understand that I come from a privileged position in being able to do that. However, it's an odd thing, isn't it, when you're actually wound up about all of the things you've talked about, that actually our answer to that is to go out and spend. You know, spend to make us feel better, when actually nature offers up quite a lot of free stuff that we can do. So to me, it's just reappraising. You know, it's thinking, what actually is important, and do I need to buy all of those toys for Christmas, or do I find a different way of learning to play? And I'm not even a Luddite. You know, I don't hark back to the past. I think that we've learned through the past, but we should consider our future. You know, we should think about what this will look like, and consider now when we can affect it, you know, should we adjust our behaviour to make sure we've got the future that we want? And actually, some of that doesn't take cash. I know it takes time and it takes the ability to be able to step outside and not be worrying about lots of things. But we just, you know, I think my job is to kind of point those things out to busy people who haven't got time to think about it.
Do when you're in Dragon's Den, as it were, when people come in and pitch an idea to you, how much of your views on ecology do you bring to the fore? If it's a really good idea, but you think, well, it might be a bit dodgy, that actually might not be very good for the planet, but I can see a way of making quite a bit of cash out of that. Would you go for it or not?
No. I absolutely have. I've got a set of rules, and I don't care how good the businesses are, I will not invest, and I won't invest if it cuts against my principles, and I won't invest if I don't trust the individual that is standing in front of me, and I don't care how good the business is. Because at the end of the day, I have, you know, I have a good life, and I can behave well because I don't have other pressures on me. And I think it'd be a sad thing if I gave up what is, you know, dear to me, the principles are dear to me, for the sake of more cash. I would be a liar.
I've interviewed Theo a number of times. I know Theo quite well, as you probably know. He started life from a very different background to an awful lot of people who've been successful. And I remember asking him, how did you make your first million? To which his answer was, no, is how you get over losing your first million that really is the question. So what was it that suddenly catapulted you into the position you're in now? Because, I mean, you haven't inherited your wealth, have you? You haven't inherited your entrepreneurship.
No, but it's odd because I don't know the moment it happened, because I think what I feel is that I just had my head down doing what I did. You know, I was running holiday parks and, you know, very busy at it. And one day, I didn't wake up one day and thought, oh, that's it now, I'm a millionaire. You know, because you just carry on doing what you're doing. And it wasn't till I actually exited the business, I sold the business, that meant anything to me, because it really didn't change what I did every day. I actually like business. I actually like working, as odd as it sounds. So you know, there wasn't a moment where I just thought, right, that's it, cigar, sit on the beach. I'd never wanted to do that. So I don't really know when it happened. And I didn't really have my yes moment. It, you know, I mean, what I do know is that my life is a lot, I'm in a lot more control of my life now that it's happened.
Have you actually lost a lot of money as well, or have you been lucky and not had those huge downs?
No, well, I will tell you, the biggest down I had was losing, in my first business, losing £3,000. And you know, when you haven't got £3,000, it feels like a blink of fortune, you know. And so I don't necessarily think it's the size of it. It doesn't have to be a million. That really hurt, because I thought that was a failure.
Here's another thing that always fascinates me about talking to people who have been very successful. Theo enjoys his life and having money and what he can do with it. Do you enjoy it, or do you worry about it?
No, I don't worry about it at all. I don't think that, you know, and I'm always saying this to people when they're running their businesses, or they think that cash is the answer, and cash is an answer in a business because you have to generate profits. But it genuinely doesn't worry me in terms of, I don't every day wake up and think, oh my goodness, I've got all that money and what am I going to do with it? You know, I live the life that I want to live, and my money has allowed me to do that beyond most people's ability to be able to choose what they want to do. But to worry about it would be pointless, you know. And I'm always saying to people in business, remember what you're doing this for. Because if the business starts running you and you get up every day and you dread it, stop doing it. You know, because you only go into business because you've got to know what you want out of that business. And if your answer is just cash, then you need to look again.
I wasn't going to ask you this question. We asked some of our listeners if they had questions for you, Deborah. And now, having spoken to you, I think I'm going to ask it anyway. Richard Williams, who is listening, he said, James, please ask Deborah, I used to have holidays in Butlins in Minehead, and back in the 70s, I'm sure she was calling the bingo.
He is absolutely right.
Is
he? How fantastic. There you are. I was a bingo caller. Absolutely. He's absolutely right. Well, hello, Richard.
Yeah, yeah. She liked it so much, she bought the company.
There you go. There you are.
We'll go back to more questions in a moment, if we may. Has becoming a celebrity, Deborah, changed your attitude and the way you do things?
I don't think of myself as a celebrity. I think of myself as a woman in business. Well, actually, I don't. I think of myself as in business, who happens to do a bit on television. And I've never crossed that threshold to celebrity, and it still makes me jump when people call me a celebrity. But the truth is, a lot of people recognise me, and that's been growing since I've been on Dragon's Den longer. So it does occasionally make me change my behaviour. I am aware that I'm on show when I'm out in public. There's times when I go out in the jumpers with my riding hat hair and no makeup and whatever, and a couple of times I've been caught out. People try and take their photograph with me. And I say, you can, but people won't recognise me. So.
I was always amazed exactly how, I mean, Dragon's Den was a programme on BBC Two that has captured the public's imagination. And it seems to have catapulted all of you into this surreal area where, as you say, not so much a celebrity, but somebody who can actually achieve things for people. I know I've been in a pub with Theo when people have queued up to try and pitch ideas to him. Has that happened to you?
Oh, all the time. Absolutely all the time. But, you know, it's fantastic. I don't mind when people have got ideas. To me, that's the lifeblood of the economy. That's what we're all about. Some of them are a little bit less interesting. A little bit wild, a little bit crazy, actually. But genuine. I don't mind that at all. That's good. The minute people stop coming up with ideas, we're in a lot of trouble.
Has anybody come up to you in the street or in a restaurant or whatever and said, listen, I've got this idea, and you suddenly thought, that is a good idea, and carried it on?
I'll tell you why. I think the problem is it's kind of the wrong forum, because I don't walk around all the time looking, in my business mode. And to try and get my attention while I'm probably talking to people, I'm being social and I'm really not in business mode, is quite hard. So I very quickly give them an alternative through my website, and so, because I've got somebody who does nothing but sort of look at the business propositions that come through the website. So I do kind of stop them very quickly. And I also say, because if I know about it, they can't go on Dragon's Den. So I also say, if you ever think about going on Dragon's Den, don't tell me any more.
How many more businesses can you actually invest in and be involved in? You must be getting to a point where you think, I couldn't give them enough time if I take on any more.
Well, I run my investments in a different way to some of the other dragons. So what I tend to do is I invest. I personally spend a bit of time at the beginning trying to understand what I think they need, not just what they think they need. And then I usually find somebody who has been hugely successful in that field. I get them involved in the investment. Sometimes I give them a piece of the action, so I give them some of the shares so that they are, they're incentivized to really make this business work. And they then give, they do the day-to-day interaction with the investments, and they know when to get me involved. And that way I think I serve them better, because I'm not actually the expert in every field. I've got Jane Milton, who's fantastic at food. So, if it's food-based one, I use her. A chap called Nick Bear, who's, a lot of online stuff, very good at the financials. So I'll just bring people in who I think are the right people.
What is the most successful business you have discovered on the television then?
Probably a business called... I mean, some of them, don't forget, they're all in different phases. So some of them haven't realised their success at the moment. But there's a business called Grip It, which is a fantastic product, brilliant story, 13-year-old, trying to put some blinds up with his grandfather, keep falling down. He and his grandfather go into the shed and invent a plasterboard fixing. Now, don't ask me how I can get so excited about a plasterboard fixing. But there's been no innovation in plasterboard fixing since 20 years. It is the strongest one on the market. Each fixing can take up to a ton. And we are now in 1,300 stores, and we've got deals that will double the number of stores we're in this year. And we're working with the plasterboard manufacturers because, of course, you know, they can now use plasterboard to do things like put plasma screens on the wall, which they couldn't do before. You know, that is real. It's a great story. It's what Dragons is all about, and it's groundbreaking stuff. It's brilliant.
Here's an observation here, Deborah, from one of our listeners. Andy Harris says, Deborah, when you get excited about a pitch in Dragon's Den, do you know you always rub your finger and thumb together? Did you realise?
Well, I didn't, actually, but what you do when you see yourself on television, I had absolutely no idea. I honestly thought I had a poker face. I thought nobody could read me at all. And no, he's absolutely right. I do that. But I didn't know, no.
Lots of people think the BBC give you the money to invest. Do you want to just quash that that thought now?
Oh, no. No, I've written the checks. Trust me, that is my money. And I think that's the magic of Dragons, because it's real. You know, that's why we get, you know, we get feisty or interested or punchy. You know, if it was just somebody else's money, you kind of think, oh, whatever, we'll give it a go. You know, so it's kind of got to be our money to make it quite so punchy, I think.
Has anybody frightened you when you've said, no, I'm sorry, for these reasons, I'm out, and then they've come back after the show or something? I don't know whether they're around after the show and say, I think you're all mad, you should have invested in me, or...
No, they're actually whisked away. I mean, we have absolutely no interaction at all, either prior or post the actual pitch itself, and the BBC work very, very hard for that to happen. You know, they want to see our surprised faces when the pictures come in. You know, they want the first real reaction, and when they go away, we're usually pretty much on to the next pitch, so we really don't see those investments afterwards. Although they do sometimes, quite a lot will contact me after the show. But never nasty, you know, usually thank you for the feedback.
Did you enjoy Strictly?
Oh, James, I loved it. I had the best time. Theo thought I was completely mad.
I know. Well, we'd like to see Theo do it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that'll be the day, eh? I think we should start a campaign. You're right, we should make him do Strictly.
Well, I'd like to see him in the Big Brother house, but I don't think that's going to happen either.
I don't think that's going to happen either.
So what about you? I mean, you've done Strictly. What about I'm a Celebrity, Big Brother, The Jump?
No, I've been asked to do most of them, but honestly, I did Strictly for, usually, you know, I'm very, very, very careful about things. I think, well, actually, what's my reason? My reason for Strictly is I wanted to dance. That was it. I just thought, forget trying to find all the other reasons, Deborah. I actually want to do this. Personally, I want to dance. But the others just haven't, you know, they just don't interest me. So, I mean, the programmes interest me, but getting involved. I mean, why would I leave my lovely house and go and eat maggots in a jungle? Why would that happen?
Yep, no, I'm with you. Listen, that's never, never, never in a million years. I think that what about Come Dine With Me? You could do that. That would be nice.
Well, we did a Celebrity Come Dine With Me.
Did you do that?
We did.
I didn't see that.
But I didn't. I don't cook. I haven't cooked in 28 years, and I did actually say, well, I can't do it because I'm not breaking my. You know, I'd hate my husband to actually see that I could even attempt to cook. Otherwise, that's going to change my life completely. So I didn't actually cook. So I was sort of sitting there passing judgment on everybody else's cooking, which was great.
Well, I think it's good. I think I'm waiting for the first person to do that who just orders takeaway and tries to pass it off as their own.
Yeah, well, Peter's, I have to say, did look suspiciously like Heston Blumenthal's orange dessert, but there you go.
What haven't you done that you would dearly like to do? Or is there something that even in your position you just can't do?
Oh, do you mean in reality shows? Or
Yeah. No, in anything. Life in general, going somewhere, doing something. I don't know, just something that, that you are unable to achieve, even though you have a position of notoriety, even though you have money that you can do most things, is there something you can't do that you'd like to do?
Well, I'll answer that two ways. The first of all, most things, if you say you can't do them, it usually means they just haven't reached the top of the priority pile. And I would love to actually practically spend some time on conservation projects. You know, physically do it myself, because sometimes I get really, you know, I talk for them, or I might give cash to them, but I'd really like to get involved. But the truth of the matter is I could do that. It's just that my diary hasn't allowed me to, and that means it hasn't kind of got to the top of the pile. But if there's something else I would love to do. I would love to be able to sing. I mean, I can't sing, and I would love to be able to sing. So, I think taking time to see whether or not somebody could teach me, that I would love to do that.
Well, I think that's a television program in itself. Right, final question from Mark Holt. He says, snog, marry, avoid, Peter, Theo or Duncan?
Well, I don't... do you know one thing I've learnt in life, James? I don't have to answer any question that I don't want to. So I'm not answering that, and I'll tell you why. one of my fellow dragons at one point in an interview did answer that, and I told him off for it. So that would make me a terrible hypocrite if I said it myself. There you are.
Well, listen, no, I'm very politics. Honest. If right, some James. Of our politicians, Deborah, could take that line, I think we'd all be a lot better off, wouldn't we?
That's true.
Deborah, I think that's right. I'll finish it there on that laugh. That's brilliant. That's amazing. Brilliant. Have a good day. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah.
Then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Would you like a free audiobook? Our friends at Audible are giving everybody a free audiobook just by going to the James Whale Radio Show website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. All you need to do is click on the Audible link, register, and you'll get your free audiobook. It's a bit like a book club, and remember, you can leave at any time and you still get to keep your free audiobook. So what are you waiting for? Just head over to the James Whale Radio Show website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, and click on that Audible link now.
You don't have to have almost a celebrity. You can have something else. Just follow the Audible links and to find out more. And that's all you have to do. Now, thanks to Deborah Meaden as well. She's good. I didn't know Deborah was so much into conservation and stuff like that. Did you?
On her Twitter feed, she's quite active about it, yes.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know until I read all the notes, of course, obviously. You know,
the research.
The copious amounts of research that you actually do. Now, here's the thing. Lots of people have been getting very upset about school parking, all right?
Ooh, yeah.
Now, do you do that or not? Do you take your child to school in the car?
I take my child to school in the car, yes.
Yeah, and I suppose you park on the pavement or on double yellow lines or zigzags across a zebra crossing. You do the usual sort of thing, do you?
No, I park in the council car park, which is next to the post office.
Well, why don't you take her to school? What do you want to take her to the post office for?
Because the post office is literally 3 seconds away from the school.
Mm. Why don't you just walk?
Because that would take, 8 minutes of my busy life.
So you are so damned lazy that you can't walk 8 minutes to school with your child.
I'm fortunate that I can choose when and where. I suppose I could choose that as well. I go to work and start work. So I usually, if I'm doing the school run, I will drop my daughter off and go straight to work. So I need my car.
Well, no, you can walk her to school.
Walk back and then get
because
the car.
Then you can walk back, and because there's no real time that you need to get to work,
yeah.
Then you can pick up your car and you can go to work. Now, this is interesting. You are the reason that there is so much congestion around school time. As you know, I do a breakfast show on another radio station, and this is one of the things people... I mean, I'm quite pleased in a way because I know people are listening in, but there are so many holdups around schools, so much congestion, so much danger... Because those people, usually it has to be, say, women, but not always, as we demonstrated with you. Those people who do the school run must be some of the worst drivers in the world.
Can I just point out that I only do the school run probably about once a month. The rest of the time, my wife does it.
See, you're backtracking now, aren't you? And if there was anything gallant about you, you wouldn't have thrown that in. You would have said, yes, I'm sorry, James, I'm going to walk in future. 8 minutes. It used to take me nearly half an hour to walk to school.
I got the bus.
Yeah, well, I got the bus, and there was about a 15-minute walk after the bus. 8 minutes.
Yeah.
8 minutes. You're a lazy so-and-so.
I get out of breath just going up the stairs. I can't believe
yeah, that's
walking.
A very good reason why you ought to be. Now, we put this out on Facebook and said, are women on the school run the worst drivers? Perhaps I shouldn't have said that. Nikki Harrison says, no, school bus drivers are the worst drivers. Francis says, worst drivers are young men by far. Maybe they have a pre-ejaculation or size. But Francis, that's not nice.
Wow.
That really isn't nice. Caroline says, we used to live about 200 metres from a primary school, and it was a nightmare. The mums all had the same manic expression as they jostled for the closest parking space to the school. We could never get in or out of our driveway. They didn't think twice about blocking us in. We moved. Do you know, if you live near a school, that's one of the reasons why the value of your house is lower than in anywhere else, because of that.
I'm all right. I'm 8 minutes away.
Yeah, eight minutes. You could have walked in 8 minutes. There's probably 2 minutes in the car. You should be ashamed of yourself. What else have we got? Oh, Hoggy Hogan says, why narrow it down to just the school run? Yes, I think you're right. Mark Edwardson, especially the mums in Citroen Picassos. Why Citroen Picassos?
They're quite big.
All right. You know, lots of schools are upset about this kiss and go.
Pardon?
Or kiss and drop, isn't it? They drop the kids off, give them a quick kiss and go, but they stop on zigzag lines
right.
Outside the school. It causes all sorts of problems. Loads of responses. Thank you very much indeed. We didn't get around to reading everyone out. Chris says, I found the arrogant men who wanted to race me all the time because I was a small blonde in a big car to be the worst. The rudest and the most dangerous. Do you know, Mrs. W does say that men cannot stand it if she overtakes them and they take it as a personal threat. I've never it doesn't bother me. I don't know. Some blokes obviously have got small manhood problems, I suppose. Jamie Law says, can you really stereotype all women drivers on the school run? No, of course not. No, of course not. Not all women drivers are bad, but I would agree some are terrible. I know some shocking male drivers as well. I think I should have taken the women out of that. Everybody taking their child to school in a car should think twice about the way they do it. On the other hand, if I was to actually try and be balanced about this, I would say, listen, not everybody lives close enough, like my producer, to walk their child to school. So quite a lot of people do have to take their child in a car. Some have got childcare issues and all sorts of things. There is no provision outside most schools now for parking. Schools quite often close the gate, so you can't drive into the school grounds to drop the children off because of health and safety. I think if you're building new schools in the future, you have to think about the people coming and bringing their children to school and where they're going to do it. It has to be a necessity.
I've got a solution.
Go on.
I could move further away from the school to justify the run.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you could do that. Yeah. Why don't you do that?
I think I will.
Now, should we do tech talk? Because a lot of people want tech talk and they want you to do it seriously. My friend Tony Fisher, who listens to this program, by the way, on his headphones whilst he's walking from the railway station to a radio station that he works on.
He walks, does he?
Yeah.
Well, gone off him already.
Yeah, no, he walks, and I think it's probably about 15 to 20 minutes his walk rather than 8 minutes.
He makes me look bad, so I've gone off him.
Well, it doesn't take a lot, does it? So, ladies and gentlemen, on the James Whale Radio Show, Tech Talk.
Okay, one of the biggest questions I got asked is, why is my wireless in my house terrible? Always dropping signal, blah, 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 blah. The internet's really slow. What can I do? So I have the answer for you.
Yeah, defraggle.
That's something from the Muppets, isn't it?
I don't know. I thought you had to defraggle your computer or something.
That speeds up your computer, doesn't speed up your Wi-Fi. your internet.
Oh, right, okay. Is it the same thing?
Yeah, the problem with the Wi-Fi is everyone's got it. And because everyone's got it, all the frequencies are all jam-packed. So your neighbours are all using the same frequency that you are. Therefore, the neighbour has to get their web page, another neighbour gets their web page, and eventually you'll get your web page. That's a bit of a simplified example, but I'm sure you get the gist.
So can't you do something to improve it, then?
Of course you can. What you need to do is you need to go into your router settings and change the channel ID, which is basically the frequency of your router, to one that's a bit more freer, if you like.
Right, okay, yeah, okay. Right.
Okay, and while you're there, you know when you log on to your router, most of the time it's just called something like BT Home Hub F73765, really something really boring.
Could you stop giving your own router out, otherwise we'll all be using it?
Well, my router's called Warning Virus, and I'll explain why. You could put anything you like in there, so you can put things like Warning Virus, so people steer clear of that, so they don't use your router. So, obviously, scare people away. What you could do is, I live next door to a drug dealer, so everyone in the street goes, there's a drug dealer in this street, and the drug dealer eventually see it popping up on his computer. You know, you get all your neighbour's Wi-Fi pops up on the bottom corner of your computer. If you're a drug dealer, you'll go, hang on a minute, they're on to me, right? So they'll stop dealing drugs. So that's another good thing you can do with your wireless router. But the most important thing you can do is change the frequency of it by changing the channel.
That simple?
Yeah. And there's a website you can use called speedtest.net, and that will allow you to test your Wi-Fi.
Oh, well, I might do that.
And you keep changing the channel until it goes up.
All right. So you don't have to wait for faster broadband. You could do it that way.
Yeah, usually. It's normally due to the channel that you're using and the interference from your neighbours. And also surveillance cameras, they're on the same frequency.
Oh, for goodness sake. No wonder we can't get anywhere. Good, OK, well, that's good tech talk. And if you have any questions of a technical nature for Rob, then all you have to do is email jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. Email@gmail. quite like that. I think that's almost time for us to go, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got some more questions for you, though.
Let's finish off on that. Yes, yeah, questions. Off you go.
We like to do those. Let me find the page. Yeah. I've been doing
it. Yeah, and again, if you want to send me any questions for next week's programme, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. And don't forget to check us out at the website, jameswhaleradio.uk. Oh, come on. Just do it for me. I'm tired.
Email is jameswhaleradio@gmail.com.
No, I've done that. The website.
Oh, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. I should have been listening.
Yes, I know. You should have been listening. What are you doing?
I was reading the questions. I was vetting them because just in case it upsets
you. No, don't do it. Just hit me with them. Hit me with a couple of questions.
Phil Richards, why can't the UK cope with one snowflake?
Why can't the UK cope with one snowflake? I did say the questions are getting a bit facile last time. Okay, but if this is the best you can do. Well, of course, they can cope with one snowflake. They can't cope with a few. The reason they can't cope with a few is we can't be sure we're going to get them at any one time. And I think we should cope a heck of a lot better than we do, by the way. It is an excuse. I was working on a radio station in London a few years ago when we had a dump of snow and the buses stopped running. And that wouldn't happen in many other countries. But the problem is, we are not geared up for bad weather. We are a moderate weather country. So we get, we get the occasional gale force winds, but not all the time. We get the occasional huge falls of snow, but by no means all the time. We get occasional floods, as we did last year, but that's something that doesn't happen all the time. So we are actually not geared up. We try and make sure we can. We've got a little bit to solve everything, not a lot to solve a few things. I think that's an answer, isn't it?
That'll do.
Yeah, good. Okay. Next one,
Pat. When it comes to sauces, are you a red or a brown man?
Oh, red. Every time red. Red sauce is actually good for you. Tomato ketchup has quite a lot of antioxidants in it. So as long as you get the one that doesn't have too many teaspoons full of sugar, it's quite good for you. In fact, tomato is one of the only vegetables, or is it a fruit tomato? I never know. That actually is better for you when it's cooked than raw.
Oh, wow. I've never, ever tried brown sauce. What's it like?
It tastes like brown sauce. Sometimes I am in a brown sauce mood. But if I was going to have something of that colour, I probably would rather have Marmite, soya sauce or Worcester sauce. And don't ever give me a roast without lashings of gravy.
Ready for your next one?
Yeah, no, I'm enjoying these now. I actually think they're better than I thought. Go on.
Gareth Lloyd, why do we give foreign aid to overseas countries? If we turn the tap off, the NHS would probably be much better.
Well, this is a question that, you know, if you're doing a phone-in on a radio show and you want to get everybody going, this is a really good one to do it. But actually, in the scope of things, we don't give that much money abroad. And we give it abroad. The reason we do it is basically because we want to try and keep those countries sweet for us. We want them to buy products that we make. So giving the money away, we probably end up getting it back in other ways. Although having said that, I think we ought to be a little more careful as to where that money we give away goes, because it is obvious that sometimes it's given to countries and gets swallowed up by those in the political elite. But, you know, it has to be said, a lot of money does do good things. It would be far better to give the money in foreign aid to organisations like, I don't know, the Red Nose people or some of these big charities and let them sort it out.
Rick Horton, why yep. did the BAFTA obituaries miss out Bob Hoskins and Rick Mayall?
Yeah, it's a very good point. I was wondering that. Did Bob Hoskins actually, did his death come the year before? I'm not sure. But Rick Mayall certainly didn't, and I have to say I was appalled. Maybe we just didn't hear it. I didn't watch the BAFTAs, but I certainly haven't. I haven't heard that they were mentioned. I don't know. You stumped me. They should have been. I don't know why they weren't.
Okay. Pauline asks: is Danish butter better than English butter?
I think it depends on your taste buds. I actually like French butter best of all. But I think if you can go to a farm and you can get real butter made on a farm, that will be the butter that you will like most.
And finally, Tony Nicol, why is it that every Labour government since 1945 has left our country bankrupt?
I don't know that that is the case, is it? I think most governments will tell you one thing, and I'm sure if you spoke to members of the Labour government, and I'm sure if you spoke to Labour MPs, they would be able to tell you that that wasn't the case. In the same way that I, you know, my thoughts are that whilst we have a party system, you can never get true democracy, because most politicians are working towards their leaders of their political party rather than the people who are in their constituencies. And I'm not sure that one party is any better or any worse than another, to be honest with you. They play to the emotions of the time. You know, UKIP will latch on and tell you all the problems about immigrants, when that blatantly isn't true. Labour will tell you that the Tories can't be trusted and everybody's going to be worse off. The Tories are going to tell you, listen, we can't trust the economy with the Labour Party. Look what they did. The Lib Dems just go, and that's about it, really. Do you think that's it?
Well, unless you want to say something else.
No, just thank you very much indeed for tuning this way. If you've enjoyed the programme, tell all your friends. If you hated it, tell all your friends. And if you want to find out whether it gets worse or better, then go to our backlog of programmes, all available to download. You can download them on iTunes. You can get hold of them anywhere you want, can't you? I think there's it must be nearly 70 programmes.
This is show 73.
Is it? My golly, 73. That is 73 hours. I'll be really pleased when we have got a whole week's worth. How many hours is that?
Several. Would you like me to get the calculator out?
No. But at the moment, you can do a good couple of days.
Just put them on repeat.
Yeah. Well, you could do three. You could do nearly 4 days now, when I think about it.
You'd have to go to the toilet, though.
3 days, anyway. Well, yeah, you could, you know, take it with you. Yeah, okay. Right. Anyway, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next week if you want to find out more about what's going on in the world of whale. Hit the website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. So say goodbye.
Goodbye.
See you later.
Can we go now?
Yeah, bugger off.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhaleRadioShow or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.